Okay. Today we meet Jan Kaplitsky, who's regarded by many as the greatest Czech architect of his generation. Listeners in the UK will surely know his amazing Selfridges building in Birmingham. But although Jan Kaplitsky has won world renown for the work of his London-based company Future Systems, he's found himself somewhat at odds with the establishment here in the Czech Republic. Mr. Kaplitsky was born in Prague in 1937, and when we met recently, he first told me something about his family background.
My father was a sculptor and painter, and he did some few small pieces of architecture like the garden and some other things, and my mother illustrated books on plants to the last day of her life. Many were published in different sort of languages, in English and of course distributed around the world. So there was a lot of that. She done some pieces of fashion when she was very young and things like that. So there was always this. My father used to write articles and was all around. Then, of course, the catastrophe of the war came, and after break of about 2 years, the 40 years of the communism started, and or I should say Stalinism, and you couldn't do anything. I mean, it was literally impossible to exhibit, to design or whatever. Everything was strictly controlled, and you were basically living for in a small environment of your home, if you were lucky. If you were not, like many of my friends, their families were expelled from Prague and things like that. You were very lucky that you could stay, even in your own house.
If we can now go forward in time to 1968, you decided to leave, I understand, immediately, as soon as the Russian tanks rolled in.
I realized that time has come, you can't stay here because there's absolutely no hope in your life. Maybe later, luckily we are sitting here, and Czech Republic is part of NATO and Europe and all this and that, which is incredible. But that time I thought I can't waste more of time sort of sitting and waiting if some Politburo will make a decision or not. That is not how you can live your life. That is impossibility.
You went to London. Why London? Was it your first choice?
In a way, yes, because I could speak something, and I didn't want to stay in German world of Austria or Germany. Also sort of smell maybe something will happen architecturally there, which wasn't yet, but it was beginning to simmer somewhere in a corner, and I was right. Then Britain started to be architectural superpower, which certainly it wasn't in 1968.
You yourself were, I believe, 31 when you left here.
Yes.
How long did it take you to get established in the UK?
Many years. I would say 10 years, maybe more. Particularly if you're doing things which are not automatically accepted or whatever, or you don't want to go 100% commercial line, which maybe would be easier. You must realize you don't have any capital whatsoever. I ran away with, I had $100 borrowed from my client, and you can't write a letter to your mother and say, please send me another 100.
In 1979, you set up Future Systems. That's an extremely ambitious name, it seems to me. What was the thinking behind Future Systems?
The one idea, which sounds now more normal, was to have a name which doesn't represent name of the people. And luckily we did it, because the people change. And I think the architecture is not activity by one man or woman. It is activity of many.
In recent years, you've had a few acclaimed buildings realized in Britain, the Lord's Cricket Ground Media Centre, and of course in Birmingham, the futuristic and remarkable Selfridges building.
It's not futuristic because it's here. Now it's on the posters around Birmingham, it's on the bankers' cards, and it's, I'm sure postcards are coming very soon, and maybe even postage stamps. If it is symbol of town, Sydney Opera is a symbol of Sydney. That's fine. They are very grateful. The city fathers or planners were very impressed. They love it. because it brings some attention to Birmingham. And some people like it. Well, maybe somebody on the corner doesn't like it. That's fine. That's a democratic state. And I'm sure the Parthenon was hated by a few characters, and so was the cathedral in Canterbury. And Empire State Building wasn't loved, and now it's popular culture.
If I can come back to this country, how do you feel that the authorities in Prague especially have treated architecture and modern architecture?
Well, authorities sometimes, I think, don't treat anything after 1900 in great respect. They are worried about some little cornice on very average apartment building, which are millions of them here in Vienna and Budapest and God knows where else. It's not, if one of them goes, I mean, the world goes around very happily, but some unique buildings from 30s or even late 20s were destroyed. They let them be destroyed commercially and otherwise. I would cry sometimes what's happening, how it is possible legally. I don't know.
Do you think that the decades of communism perhaps distorted or destroyed people's aesthetic sense in this country?
They certainly did. You must also add 6 years of fascism. I think people who were maximum teenagers, 89, maximum, they didn't even start architecture school, they probably have a chances and they will develop, and I'm sure very successful people, not just commercially but mentally.
How has Czech design caught up with the West, so to speak, in the last 15 years?
That's the most difficult question of all the questions. Well, I still feel they somehow are a little bit isolated, or they were. Some people build their reputation on isolation. That happened after 89 as well. Some people base their careers on being famous under total isolation. Now, it is Europe. I can't believe that some of the very high officials, we shouldn't mention the highest one, can be anti-European. It's almost criminal to think like that. They're a little bit scared of producing something unusual, and they are obsessed about something being Czech or something. Well, that doesn't exist. I mean, have you heard of Lithuanian architecture? It doesn't exist. It's new European architecture.
Do you get young Czech architects applying for internships or jobs at Future Systems?
No. And don't ask me why. I don't know. I simply don't know. Maybe they are not. They tell them not to, but I don't know.
The most controversial building here in recent years, I suppose, was the dancing building by the Vltava, by Vlado Milunic and Frank Gehry. What's your opinion on that building? I know people are divided over it.
Well, they are, and the building which makes so much fuss here, quite rightly, is actually designed by somebody from outside. So is the Jean Nouvel Center in Smíchov. That's not without interest. And the client in both cases are the foreign firms. Why Czech company is not inviting, and there are sort of landmark buildings, particularly with the Gehry building. More of that. Why this worry about being unusual? It will come here, and I'm sure somebody will build something extraordinary on Wenceslas Square or wherever.
Jan Kaplitsky, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Czech architect Jan Kaplitsky speaking there to Ian Willoughby in this week's edition of One on One. And you may want to check out photographs of Mr. Kaplitsky's work, which you can see at our website. Our address is www.radio.cz/en. We hope you enjoy listening to the program. For all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening, and do tune in again soon.